We come to the end of another Yom Kippur. Another season of our introspection and our soul searching comes to an end, really, with this evening. What do we do when we hear the final blast? Where do we go from here? What happens next? Is there something that we need to focus on at this time that is going to take us through where we go from here, that's going to speak to us in our now weakened condition, something which is of importance that we need to get hold of before we move on from this slot? And I was seeking the Lord about this to find really what was in a sense the last message of this day. I'm going to read to you just a couple of sections. The first bit comes from the first letter to the Jewish community in Corinth. That's chapter 6, 1 to 8. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints, that is us, Messianic Jews, believers, will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by us, are you unworthy to judge even the smallest matters between yourselves? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more, then, things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the Kehillah to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brothers? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept being wronged? Why do you not rather let yourselves be defrauded? No, you yourselves do wrong and defraud, and you do these things to your brethren. And from chapter 5, I wrote to you in my letter not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, extortioners, idolaters, since then you would need to go out of this world. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside of the Kehillah, God himself judges. The content that is put around in that letter, if you read those first 5 or 6 chapters, is really important. It's talking here about a community that has become very fleshly, a community of faith that's become very carnal, and this describes, I think, as we are well aware, the background of the Jewish community there in Corinth. A worldly background, a major port, a city that was riven with idolatry, ritual, cultural prostitution, with everything that was going wrong in that place. It was a city, a Greek city in that sense of Corinth, because of the philosophy that it drew upon. And so many of the converts that were going into that community were being drawn from this philosophical Greek background and from converts coming out of paganism, idolatry, sexual immorality, as we read there, ritual prostitution, all of those fleshly carnal things being used in worship, and were then coming into the believing Kehillah, Messianic Jewish communities and Jewish communities. And because of this background, as we know from what Rav Scholl describes here, what had crept into the congregation was a Gnosticism. If you know what that is, it's a kind of special revelation where people are walking around effectively saying, but I've heard this from God, I know this from God, I've received this from God. And of course the problem that the community was experiencing through all of that, this competing of special revelation, brought with it a divisive and fractious spirit into the community, as we know from what Scholl says, as people walking around saying, I am for Apollos, I am for Shaul, and everything else in between. And he condemns this community for this fleshly, carnal spirit of its divisive nature, because people were pitting one against another, leading to factions and splits, ripping that community apart. And what we see in the community here was the result this community was not only at war with itself, but they were judging each other. Judging each other as if there was a spiritual fashion parade of one-upmanship leading to a hierarchical spiritual pecking order where people were saying, but I'm better than you, and I'm better than you, and I've got this, and I understand that, and I've received this from God, and therefore I am above who you are because I'm doing it better than you. I'm approaching it in a better way. And this judging of others was going way beyond what we sometimes understand, even in many communities, and sometimes possibly even in our own. Maybe, I don't know. You know, with that mere glance at someone else's clothing. Is it good enough? Is it white enough? Is the skirt long enough? Is the t-shirt sleeves long enough? Is it covering enough of this, that, or the other? You know that sometimes those glances, which even a mere glance at someone, can slay someone to the ground. Because they feel so condemned. Nor is it just merely the attitudes of others to just look at what we are doing or what commandments we're doing and how much better we are at doing those commandments than other people around us. No, this was on a different level, says Shaul here. If it was only that, it would be bad enough. But what we discover in this community here is a community that is actually even taking each other to secular courts and suing each other over certain things which they didn't like with one another. As Shaul says, isn't it better to be wronged and in humility to accept it than to go before unbelievers who do not have the wisdom and judging ability and discernment of the Spirit of God to actually begin to understand what situation you are dealing with? When believers do this, it is a disgrace and shame upon the community. The problem is, of course, as we know, for many believing communities, they do not have such courts in operation nowadays to begin to do this. Praise God, with Messianic Judaism, we're beginning to set up these baked in, these courts, these houses of judgment, which we are again being able to make discerning judgments between ourselves if we need to, that you don't need to go before unbelievers. He says, isn't it better to be wronged and in humility? Why? Why does Rav Shaul say that? Why is that so important for us? Because fundamentally this is true. The Lord does see what is going on. And he sees better than you. And we need to have a trust and a confidence that when the times we feel maybe that we've been wronged, a time when we maybe felt offended, a time when we felt upset and put out, our nose out of joint, our routines disabled, where we felt really hard done by or whatever. At the moment like that, it is not that we then say, right, I'm taking you to court. At a moment like that, you fall back on God and you say, Lord, you know. And if I have been hard done by in this, then that case comes before your court alone. Because God sees, he knows the truth. And do we not know from the scriptures, what does the Lord say? I will vindicate, says the Lord. And ultimately, he says, vengeance is mine. We've pursued this theme this last 2 weeks or so through the sermons that we've been talking about here. Because God is just and he is righteous. And to trust, even if we end up offended and upset because of a situation, to trust the Lord does see and actually will steer his own level of judgment or whatever correction is needed in that situation, that God will bring it about, is to trust in his righteousness and in his mercy and ultimately in his justice. And he will make sure that you are not left out of this. But to trust him is hard. Because we want to sort things out and get right with people. And Rav Shaul says to this community, which is in the throes of getting right with each other and sorting situations out, he says, to my shame, I tell you that this brings discredit upon the community. There's a deep truth in all of this. In the kingdom of God, in the community of the remnant of the believers, in the community of Yisrael, you have got nothing to prove. Do you hear what I'm saying? You have got nothing to prove. In this community, you have got nothing to prove. No one is going to be impressed by your ultra observance of X, Y, and Z, or whatever it may be. No one's going to be impressed by your long prayers or whatever. We know what the scriptures talk about these things. You have got nothing to prove before God. All of us, from the highest to the lowest, if that is even true in this community, are equal before God because we are saved and born again through Yeshua Mashiachinu. Amen?
Amen.
That is the truth. It is not about pecking orders. It is not about spiritual one-upmanship. It's not about trying to claim a higher position or more influence, more input, or whatever that may be. Such things are divisive and factious, and they cause splits and they cause divisions. We each of us need to be so humble before God that if He uses us, He will use us with each other. And if the result of some of these things there is a wrong, then we take it as a stripe on our shoulders that we know we have caused Yeshua often enough by our own behaviour. And why is this so important now at Yom Kippur? Why is it so relevant at Yom Kippur that we understand these things? Because judgment belongs to God, and only those who are authorized to judge are authorized to carry it out. We know from the scriptures the prohibition on judging was not a blanket ban. We have to judge. There have to be courts of judgment. When things go wrong, there has to be the ability to bring spiritual discernment in and make a wise, just decision. It was not a blanket ban about thou shalt not judge, merely that only those who do it should be trained to do so, who have the forensic ability to decide and discern truth in the spiritual realm. You need training for this. And we don't understand each other's walk with the Lord. You don't understand mine. That's a fact. And I can sit here in judgment and think you should be further on than where you are, but I've forgotten, or maybe I don't even know where you've come from. And if I actually knew your background and where you'd come from, I would be so impressed with the distance that you have already covered that I would shut up. But we don't know these things. But God does. And that's why He is able to make righteous judgments when things go wrong. He knows the level of justice and correction He can bring, because He is aware of the story that we are never aware of. It's why in the kingdom justice and fairness is so important that He doesn't just leave it to lay people to make those decisions. But I will leave you with a final thought, because I actually believe it's even more critical than that, than what we are doing to each other. Shaul makes a really important statement and comment. I'm going to read it again to you here. This is verse 12 and 13 of chapter 5. What have I to do with judging those who are outside? These people out there driving around the roundabout, work, driving, going home from work. He says, what have I to do with judging them? But those who are outside, God judges. That I want to think, put this verse to you, because I think in many ways this is a verse that we should be writing in capital letters across our Facebook pages, because this world is full of people who want to go out and judge others. It's a problem for us. It's not our job to judge unbelievers. Unbelievers are at this moment standing before God in judgment, potentially going to hell, not because they broke the 30 mile an hour speed limit and annoyed you, but because they haven't accepted Yeshua. When someone cuts you up at the corner, a colleague at work who's not a believer, who grinds you up the wrong way because he switches off your computer 5 minutes too early and kills your spreadsheet, or whatever it may be, and we instantly get that sense of rage, wanting justice and to have a go at that person, immediately think to yourself, I am not in a place to judge this person. I don't know why they did that. Right now, the main issue is they need to know about Yeshua. Can you feel how difficult this is? But the scriptures are absolutely clear. The people outside there in the world, we are not to judge, because God will judge them. Implications are huge in all kinds of situations. It is simply not our job or calling to go around telling everyone where they are wrong, highlighting their sin. And sometimes we know their sins are obvious, glaringly so in our face. especially the, dare I say it, iconic ones, the totemic ones, the ones in our society today that believers really like to get hot under the collar about. And if that person is an unbeliever, then it's not your job to bring judgment upon them. It's your job to pray for their salvation. Singly and only. Everything else is irrelevant. That's your calling. And beyond that, when you understand that it's not our job to judge those outside, what suddenly realizes and light goes on in our brain, we have enough to do with ourselves first, without worrying about them outside. First heal yourself, physician, before you worry about everyone else in the ward of this world, before we begin on others. And yet, tragically, what we find in our world so often is that many see this as a prophetic call to go and accuse unbelievers, to go and judge them, to pour scorn on them, to do whatever they feel they need to do, as if somehow that is going to provoke them to change. I guarantee you, for someone who is already rebelling against God, if you go up and start attacking them, they will dig their feet in more. That is not the way to do it. And the scriptures are clear about this. This is not our concern. Pray for them, seek an opportunity to begin to share Yeshua with them, because when Messiah comes into their lives, everything changes. Everything changes at that point. And you know the people we talk about often when we do this, you know, praying that judgment will fall upon this or that nation, and that we deserve it so much, almost in a sense eagerly anticipating the judgment of God. If we put ourselves back into that position, as we do today on Yom Kippur, we would have to conversely and bizarrely almost be saying, I eagerly await your judgment, O God. That's not a word that I want to say. Oh, my heart is, Lord, I thank you for your redemption, for your mercy, because you've shown this to me. And you have removed your judgment from me. Because as we know from the narrative of Yonah, for instance, it tells us that it's the Lord's gift alone to act when Yonah sat himself at the top of that hill and began to just wait eagerly for the judgment of God to fall upon Nineveh. And the Lord said, but they've repented. I'm not going to do it. And the anger that was in Yonah at that point, because in his righteous stirring he wanted to see unbelievers punished in that way. And what does the Lord say? I do not desire the death of a sinner. God does not desire the death of a sinner. He does not desire anyone to fall into judgment in that way. What he wants is to save people. Yeshua said it and will say it again. I have not come to judge, but to save. Critical for us to understand this in this way, that we also have the same attitude. So get out, go out, preach, tell others the good news of salvation, wait for them to respond with the hunger and need in their own souls and spirits. When they look at your life, that they respond to that and think, that's what I want. What have you got that I haven't? That you are so satisfied with your life, content with your life right now because of Yeshua, then they'll think, that's what I want as well. You know what? I believe in the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe it will be enough when they come to Yeshua that the Holy Spirit of God will so convict people in that way that they will see their sins and they will turn from them. I know I did. The moment when I met the Lord that evening in my bedroom when I met him, when I finally came face to face with Adonai, I was flat on my face repenting of my sin. No one even told me what sin was, but I knew it. I knew it because the Spirit of God came upon me. And at that moment, I was aware of my sin in a way that I'd never been aware of anything like it before. Because when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you suddenly realize your wretched condition. I believe in the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And believe me, it is way more powerful than anything you can say to someone in your judgment of them. We need to pray for people to be saved, because it's the Spirit who will help them to change. So let us today, let us as we go from this Yom Kippur, we've talked about how God judges us, how he is showing mercy to us. Let us take Shaul's advice here to focus on ourselves and not on others. And especially not on others outside the community. That when someone worries you, troubles you, upsets you, offends you, whatever it may be, we should be the first ones to say, I will go the extra mile and I will forgive. To do so is to bring life into the community and not death. To do so is to stop the enemy from finding a foothold where he can use you against someone else and to bring a root of bitterness into your own heart. Is it easy? No. It is absolutely not easy. Because in our flesh we want to be justified. We want vindication. We want to be proven right. And Shaul says, is it not better that you are wronged rather than to drive your flesh to seek to be correct and right all the time? And yes, it is. But we struggle with that because we want to be seen to be right. Our God is righteous. He will and does know how to judge us. He knows how to judge Adat Yeshua, and he knows how to judge those in the world. And I will trust him for that. I will trust him for that. Because it's not up to us to make those decisions. When his judgment falls on anyone or anything in any community, when his judgment falls, it is clear and it is obvious. And we need to trust God. In due course, for all the facts that his fingertips are not ours, remember, we never know the whole picture. Remind yourselves of that and trust God. Amen.